As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Going to be a busy week, no doubt about it. It's also Holy Week. And Friday is Good Friday. Of course, Sunday is Easter Sunday. So we'll have a lot to discuss as the week goes on, but then it's going to get a little bit quiet. So let's get right to it, shall we? Joining us now to talk about all things crazy in the media world, he's the man we go to. From the Media Research Center, he's Bill D'Agostino. Bill, what's up, my man?
Doing well. Just getting off of a dog pile from X. Everybody's jumping on CNN for Dana Bash, insisting angrily at the camera, we do not hate this country, for the record. So that's always fun.
Oh, I did not see that. Do we have that clip, Matt?
No, it's brand new.
Oh, it just came out? All right, we'll have to grab that.
Yeah.
So Dana Bash said, we do not hate this country, and we as in CNN?
Yeah, which you always know it's a good news cycle when a major network has to clarify that to its audience.
Yeah, right, exactly. Bill's on X at @band_Bill, and it's great to have him with us today as we take a look at some craziness in the media. Let's get right to it. First of all, Boston Globe senior opinion writer was on NBC's Meet the Press, comparing the economy to the 1930s. So is that where we are now? We're back to 1930s comparisons, and they're really kind of obsessed with the 1930s, aren't they? I mean, Hitler, 1930s, global depression, they really love this stuff.
They are. Yeah. I mean, what confuses me. Yeah. The one we're talking about, Kimberly Atkins Store. I don't know what country she's referring to when she said the 1930s, because she warned that it was an open door to autocracy, the current state of the economy, and linked that to the 1930s U.S. economy. But if that's the case, then OK, are you saying that the landslide election of FDR was the door opening to autocracy? Because something tells me that Kimberly Atkins Store loves FDR, right? So is she getting her countries confused? Has she got her wires crossed? I don't know.
FDR, of course, Mr. Internment. I'm sure she doesn't really mention that part about FDR's storied legacy.
They never do.
It's amazing. They just never mention that one. They'll talk about the internment of Japanese, German, and Italian American citizens. They just won't say that it was FDR who did it. They're just kind of conveniently leave that part out. Here we go. Cut number 43.
Do you think Democrats, they have an opening here, but are they using it effectively?
I wish more Democrats in a united way would speak the way that Senator Booker did. Mm. You have a lot of Democrats, and I understand the desire to talk about policy and to talk about strategy. None of that is happening here. We are seeing just during the course of this show, things are changing minute by minute as to what is going on. This isn't a strategy, and it is so dangerous. I mean, I believe Ray Dalio when he says that we could be heading toward a depression. And I know Democrats get a lot of heat from Republicans about being too alarmist and talk about democracy being in peril too much. If we are in a position like we were in the 1930s, do you think talking about that too much is a problem? A collapsed economy is an open door to autocracy, and that is what Democrats should be shouting from the mountaintops.
Yeah, he said it could be worse than a recession.
So there we go. It's just the 1930s. I mean, it's just, can't they come up with another, I don't know, they always go with the 1930s route, but can't they come up with another time of dictatorship? It's just getting boring.
Well, their knowledge of history, to be fair, doesn't span too far back.
True.
Beyond that. Other than if you want to bring up slavery, then their memory is crystal clear for everybody on CNN, NBC, whatever. But other than that, I mean, history basically started with there was slavery for some unknown amount of time, and then the 1930s happened, and then the only war that ever happened, World War II, and now we're here today. That's basically the media understanding of history, bullet points at least.
Yeah. Now I want to jump ahead here a little bit, but so the CNN, obviously CNN, there's a lot of CNN bashing going on, rightfully so. I think they've earned it. But you added this one. This is cut number 46 now. This is Chris Cillizza. Now, Chris Cillizza, now, is this all about Biden and the cover-up of Biden's cognitive decline, his very obvious mental state now? Is Chris Cillizza trying to pretend like that was not a thing?
Yeah, he's Chris Cillizza-ing the story, which is to say, I've always thought of him as the Jim Cramer of political analysis. nobody knows what's going to happen, but whatever Chris says is going to happen, it's not going to be that. That was at least his career at CNN. He was very reliable in that way. He's essentially claiming that that there was no intentional activism on the part of the media to kind of cover up or obfuscate Biden's mental decline, his age, et cetera. So I blasted out a little video from 2024 of the media doing just that to kind of remind him that he's eternally wrong about everything.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you did, because now obviously all these books are coming out now and everybody in the media is acting like they all were saying that Biden was cognitively unfit to be president. And it's such a lie. They're trying to rewrite history on this, just like they rewrote history on COVID, or trying to.
Right.
Anyway. So I'm glad we have the receipts, as they say, so to speak. So Bill put this together for us. It's on his X account at @band_Bill. Cut 46.
There's a narrative that Joe Biden is an old man, of course, and I'm not disputing that he's not 81 years old, but
we are going to separate the fact from the fiction, because there are a lot of videos going around about President Biden on social media.
These videos, I mean, they're blatant lies.
They are lying to their audience.
Making up and distorting things about the current president.
Trying to get people to believe visuals that aren't real.
The videos are oftentimes made up.
Deceptively edited videos known as cheap fakes.
A cheap fake. At least that's what the White House calls this viral video of President Biden.
The White House says there's a cheap fake problem.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes. Videos of real events that are intentionally manipulated.
We're hearing about so-called cheap fakes.
Cheap fake.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes.
Distorted, out of context videos, chopped up in certain ways, constructed in certain ways.
Look at him. Look at Biden. It is not true. He was fine. But they are creating this narrative.
The technology is just going to get more and more efficient at making these videos look more and more real when they're really not.
It's remarkable. I mean, this is the greatest political cover-up of our lifetime, in my opinion, Bill. And they were all so complicit in it.
Yeah, that last clip too. It's so disingenuous. The technology is only going to get better and better. There was no technology involved other than recording, right? None of these clips were actually doctored in any way, which was why they were going with the made up term cheap fakes instead of deep fakes, right? The idea of a deep fake is that it is meticulously doctored to represent something that's not actually happening. The cheap fake, the idea of it was, well, it gives you this impression, but that's not right. You shouldn't believe that, right? It was this tortured fake term that the White House press office cooked up that all of the media just dutifully ran with because, hey, screw it. Our credibility is already in the toilet and it's an election year.
Yeah. 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 No, it's true. And now they're trying to make money off of this by writing books. I mean, you know, Jake Tapper, and that's the greatest scam ever here. They gaslit us. They went with it. They did no investigative reporting. Not all of them, but, you know, most of them did no investigative reporting whatsoever. And now they're all trying to profit off of it. I mean, it really is shameful. And for the Democrats should be angry, because the Democrat Party, this was all done to them. They did this to the Democrat voters. They kept Joe Biden in there. Then they kept a closed process. There was no open primary. There was no open convention. Really, the anger that's out there that the Democrats are showing towards Trump and Elon Musk, Democrats should be showing it to the Democrat Party, because they did this by putting up the worst candidate ever in Kamala Harris, because they were so scared about having an open primary process and getting somebody in there who they couldn't control. And let's face it, that's what that was all about, right? They couldn't roll the dice and risk that you'd get a Bernie Sanders or an AOC or somebody who they couldn't control. So they'd rather go down and lose with someone they can control than win with somebody they couldn't.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They were not willing to hand the keys over to a loose cannon Democrat. They needed the entire Democrat establishment behind whoever it was. The funny thing, though, Rich, is that when you look at the most recent polling, I saw a new one out today, although I'm forgetting who conducted it. But you look at the polling for who their Democrat voters are considering supporting for 2028. Kamala Harris is in the lead still. She's got the plurality. It's something like 28%, because there's a lot of names on the list. But 28% is like at least 10 points above the next highest name, which I believe is Cory Booker. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they would have run her anyway. I mean, it's got to be a desolate feeling to be a Democrat strategist right now, because you look out over this field and it's barren. Right. There's nobody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Bernie apparently is getting 36,000 people turning out for him and AOC, but it doesn't matter. He had that in 2016 and they still found a way to stop him from getting the nomination. The same thing in 2020. They will never let that happen, because there's a lot of things about, I can't obviously stand him politically, but let's face it, he's not going to go along with the war in Ukraine. He's not going to be, he's very outspoken against Israel. The Democrat Party is never going to allow him and AOC to be their standard bearer. So I also wonder how much they're inflating these polls to make Kamala Harris look like the front runner as they try to hide, because, you know, Gavin Newsom's out there now doing his podcast and saying he's trying to learn about masculinity in this country. And it's just they're definitely playing a game here. No doubt about that. But there's something wrong. There's a real, I played this clip in the first hour, but it's worth playing again with you here to talk about it. Bill D'Agostino's with me from the Media Research Center. Taylor Lorenz is a hideous, hideous human being. She describes herself as an independent journalist. Give us a little bit of background into her before we play this clip.
She's a monster. I mean, she is essentially I was going to say soft Marxist, but she's not really a soft Marxist. I think she's like genuinely a Leninist at this point, as this clip will illustrate. She was too much of a nut and a loose cannon for The Washington Post, right? Like the most extreme liberal newspaper in the country. And now she's basically spent the rest of her time going around doxing anonymous conservative accounts on X or whatever other social media they're using. She was the person who doxed Kaya Rachik, the Libs of TikTok lady. Mm-hmm. And she actually showed up at her mother's house. Taylor Lorenz showed up at the Libs of TikTok lady's mother's house to try to like harass her. And her claim, I guess, was that she wanted to seek a quote from her about something, but really just like an absolute nut, somebody who stretches the definition of journalist far further than the term should ever have been stretched.
So in this clip, she's gushing about Luigi Mangione. But what I left out earlier, and I did that on purpose, was she's gushing about him on what network and with who?
Yeah, she's gushing about him on CNN, right? The network that does not hate our country. And I'm forgetting the name of this man who was interviewing her. He's
Donnie O'Sullivan is the man's
thank
name.
Thank you. Yeah. He's got American citizenship, but the man is as Irish as they come if you listen to him talk. And, I mean, he basically does this shtick where he goes around, saying a bunch of anti-American things, And then people tell him, we'll go back to Ireland. He says, well, actually, I'm an American citizen. That's like his whole game that he plays. And so, of course, he is the perfect person to be interviewing this Bolshevik, Taylor Lorenz, about I believe he phrased it as what the media are getting wrong about Luigi Mangione.
Yeah, and his fans. I mean, so I'll read you the full tweet here. It says, independent journalist Taylor Lorenz on what the media is getting wrong about Luigi Mangione fans tonight on Misinfo Nation, Extreme American. Let me say that again. Misinformation, Extreme American, 8 p.m. Eastern on CNN. All right, so this is CNN airing this kind of ridiculousness. Take a listen.
Hilarious to see these millionaire media pundits on TV clutching their pearls about someone standing a murderer when this is the United States of America, as if we don't lionize criminals, as if we don't have, you know, we don't stand murderers of all sorts, and we give them Netflix shows. There's a huge disconnect between the narratives and angles that sort of mainstream media pushes and what the American public feels. And you see that in moments like this. And I can tell you, I saw the biggest audience growth that I've ever seen, because people were like, oh, somebody, some journalist is actually speaking to the anger that we feel.
The women who got her outside court in New York.
So you're going to see women especially that feel like, oh, my God, right? Like, here's this man who's revolutionary, who's famous, who's handsome, who's young, who's smart. He's a person that seems this like this morally good man, which is hard to find.
Yeah, I just realized women will literally date an assassin before they swipe right on me. That's where we are. I'm sure you wouldn't like to be compared to a Trump supporter. But some of how people cannot understand why people have sympathies for Mangione strikes me as the same as a lot of media not understanding why people support Trump.
I totally agree.
It's because a lot of people are just really, really desperate.
They want somebody to take on the system. They want somebody to tear down these barbaric establishment institutions.
This is so insane, Bill. We got to break this down here. So Luigi Mangione, of course, is the man who executed the United Healthcare CEO in cold blood, assassinated him, this man's father and husband, and killed him in cold blood. And she's acting like this man is, and I quoted this, that some view him as a morally good man, the last morally good man, gushing about him, and then to compare him to Trump, who has never killed anybody, as far as I know. It's just repugnant in every level.
Yeah, right. And she says that he's tearing down barbaric institutions. I'm sorry, what is tearing down barbarism if you're committing broad daylight assassinations? Yeah. Right? I mean, how do you square that circle? The reality is she loves this guy. Because he's like her and he has her politics. And frankly, the only reason that she's not out doing the exact same thing that Luigi Mangione did is because she's too scared to, and because she has too much to lose. But she clearly, very clearly, deeply agrees with everything that he did and with all of his reasons for doing it. And again, this cannot be stressed enough. This is somebody who was an establishment reporter. And the only reason she's not anymore, it's not because of her politics. It's because interpersonally, she is so much of a nutcase that they had to let her go. Right. But her politics are very much in line with those of her former colleagues at The Washington Post. You would be hard pressed to get a room full of Washington Post employees where there is not a single one of them that does not agree largely with what she was saying here.
It's amazing. And then this guy, this Donnie O'Sullivan guy, after interviewing lefties like Lorenz, who celebrate the killing of capitalists, CNN's Donnie O'Sullivan helpfully notes, while America's roots are soaked in bloodshed, violence in the country today is mostly from right-wing extremism. From Oklahoma City to Charlottesville to January 6th, there is simply no equivalent on the left. This is nuts. This clip was grabbed by our friend Tom Elliott. Over at Grabian. This is cut 33.
Nadine Seiler is a longtime progressive activist.
We've met before. I've seen you at protests in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Against Trump.
Yes.
Against January 6th, all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Is accepting the violence that was committed against Brian Thompson.
America is founded on violence.
But by
America was founded. Make America great again to win. They came and massacred the indigenous people, millions and millions of indigenous people.
But by supporting the murder of a healthcare CEO, doesn't that make your side as culpable?
I don't hear them condemning the Proud Boys, who he said stand by, whatever they start. Once they start condemning them, then I will reassess. But until then, no, I'm not reassessing.
Yeah.
About a third of the building has been blown away.
And while America's roots are so...
Let me just mention, you know, because then it goes on to talk about the conservative roots. When they asked Chuck Schumer the other day, Bill D'Agostino, to condemn the Tesla violence, he said, I won't mention Tesla, but I'm happy to condemn Elon Musk. The Democrats will not condemn the violence against... I condemned the attack on Governor Shapiro's residence. Every Republican I know, including the President of the United States, has condemned what happened to Governor Shapiro's house. I have not heard a single Democrat come out and say it is wrong to throw Molotov cocktails at Tesla dealerships and blow up Teslas.
And where are the media on this? Why are they not holding any of their feet to the fire? Right? I mean, we see that one question to Chuck Schumer. I guarantee if you had that question asked to every Democrat in Congress, you'd have dozens of clips exactly like that, of them refusing to condemn the attacks on Tesla. And I mean, the fact that this moron has to reach all the way back to Oklahoma City to come up with three examples. I mean, okay, let's play the same game then. The congressional baseball shooting, right? The assassination attempt on Brett Kavanaugh's family. Both assassination attempts on Trump this past election, right? I mean, so much of this is still ongoing too, right? And that's not even to mention Luigi Mangione. I mean, the left has an endemic problem with political violence. And Tamela Lorenz giving this interview is the media's attempt to normalize political violence in some big way. And the left in general are trying to desensitize Americans to it because it's basically all they have right now. They're not going to do the peaceful resistance route because that doesn't really work, because it turns out that when your ideas are garbage, peaceful resistance doesn't work out so well because you're not convincing anybody of anything. And so all they have now is tantrums, and a lot of those tantrums turn violent.
It reminds me of mostly peaceful protests that we heard during the Summer of Love of 2020. Yeah. Remember that, Bill? They'd be in front of a McDonald's that was on fire, and they'd say, these are mostly peaceful protests.
Yeah, that iconic screen grab of the CNN reporter and standing in front of an inferno, and there's a chyron that says fiery but mostly peaceful protests. I mean, that's the perfect encapsulation of how the media deal with left wing violence. They sweep it under the rug. They're not aware of it. We actually did a study. I think it was about a year ago now, looking at MSNBC and CNN. Their use of the terms far right and far left, and we spent like hours coming up with all manner of similar terms, right? So like ultra right, ultra left, extreme left wing, extreme right wing, etc. We found one mention of far left, and it was to nobody in particular. It was Chuck Todd, who was at the time the NBC political director, talking about some nebulous concept of far left. That was the only time that the term was even used. The media refused to acknowledge far left even exists, that there is such a thing. Right. And so as long as they continue to gatekeep this topic so heavily, there's never going to be a conversation on it, at least on corporate media airwaves. And so they're in large part, I would say that they are just as complicit in this as Chuck Schumer is.
I agree. I do, because in the absence of condemning it, and I said this earlier, Bill, I said it'd be like if somebody asked me to condemn the attack on Governor Shapiro's house, and I said, well, I'm not going to talk about the attack on his house, but I will be happy to criticize his school choice policies. That's a tacit okay of what the guy did. And that's exactly what Chuck Schumer said when confronted about the Tesla violence. I'm not going to talk about Tesla, but I will tell you Elon Musk is bad for America. It's outrageous. Bill, always a joy to start our week together with you. Follow Bill on X at @band_Bill and go to the Media Research Center and newsbusters.org for all the great work that they do. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Rich. Good to see you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So this guy who was arrested, clearly off his meds, harboring hatred towards the governor, hatred towards a lot of people, and his mother tried to get him picked up by four different police departments, apparently. So more and more is coming out about the guy who tried to burn down the governor's residence last night or Saturday night, the start of Passover. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli if you'd like to weigh in as we continue. More from what the president had to say in the Oval Office today, and there's a question regarding whether or not kids should be allowed to be in the malls by themselves or they should have escorts around. I want to ask you about that as well as we continue along the show here today. But I'll tell you about my great friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. The great work that they do at Emmons is absolutely top rate. It is the best. I'm so happy about our friendship and our partnership with them. In fact, I was just texting with my buddy Matt Kelly, the owner of Emmons Roofing and Siding, yesterday. Terrific people. They'll do great work for you. And each and every one of my listeners, you get 10% off inflation relief discount. That's 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson window replacement, doors, and so much more. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. If you, they will never, ever tell you you needed a roof if you don't. Never. That's not the game that they play. A lot of companies do, though, but not Emmons. They'll happily give you a free roof inspection. But if you do need a new roof, you're going to get a lifetime warranty with the Owens Corning Shingle, the best in the business. So reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. Trust the people that I've used in two different homes for over 10 years. They even have a bathroom remodeling division. And yes, Emmons remodeled the bathroom in my home as well, the previous home. My wife loved it. Happy wife, happy life. emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bernie Sanders and AOC are hitting up all the big festivals like Coachella, which is a very, very pricey affair, by the way. But he's fighting the oligarchy. And he will not be the nominee. She will not be the nominee. The Democrat Party wants to control whoever their nominee is. That's the bottom line. We have a lot to get to today. I'm glad you're here. Obviously, the big story of the day is the attack on Governor Josh Shapiro's residence by this lunatic who was off his meds, according to his mother, and had a bunch of scuffles with the law, domestic violence, beat up his kids, his wife. So, or ex-wife, I should say, really, really sick guy. That's the big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. And it's April, so we're right around the corner from all those memories, you know, graduations, etc. Make sure you have a great smile, VeneriaDental.com. So let's see. This is amazing here to me. Because Stephen A. Smith says he has no choice but to contemplate a run for president. So I was asked about this earlier today at America's Newsroom, but I want you to hear this. Stephen A. Smith is obviously a guy who would run as a Democrat. That's the thing; he'd run as a Democrat. Cut 41.
I saw you mentioned Bill Maher. I saw Steve Bannon was on with Bill Maher, and he was asked what Democrats he worries about. And you know the only name he mentioned as a Democrat he'd be worried about. So are you really? Are you really thinking about running for president? Is this something you think?
Listen, I have no choice because I've had elected officials, and I'm not going to give their names, elected officials coming up to me. I've had folks who are pundits come up to me. I've had folks that got a lot of money, billionaires and others, that have talked to me about exploratory committees and things of that nature. I'm not a politician. I've never had a desire to be a politician. I just signed a contract extension with ESPN. I am very, very
pretty
happy
good one too.
With my day job. I'm very happy with my bosses. It's a pretty damn good one. Just right. It's a pretty damn good contract. I couldn't be happier. But here's the reality. People have walked up to me, including my own pastor, for crying out loud, who has said to me, you don't know what God has planned for you. At least show the respect to the people who believe in you, who respect you, who believe that you can make a difference in this country, to leave the door open for any possibilities 2 to 3 years down the line. And that's
okay. I'll tell you exactly why Stephen A. Smith has no chance of winning as a Democrat. None whatsoever. Okay. The reason why is because remember last week that woman stands up at the Bernie Sanders town hall with Anderson Cooper, and Anderson addresses her as she, and she says it's they, them, actually. This is from today. You know how they had a bunch of women go to space? They took this big space flight. Katy Perry was one of them. Wait till you hear what that whack job had to say when she got back to Earth. So they went up into space and they came back down. It's like a ride, like a fantasy, like a Make-A-Wish Foundation kind of thing. They went up to space and they came back down. All right? Sounds fun. Sounds like a blast. Space tourism. It's going to be all the rage. You'll be able to do it someday, I'm sure, with the right kind of cashish. Gail King was up there. Big money. You know, it's big money to do this stuff. But anyway, when they got back to Earth, CBS started having a conversation about this with a former NASA astronaut, Dr. Mae Jemison. Okay? Now, this is exactly why the Democrat Party has such a big problem. Cut 38.
Explain to our audience why even a trip like this one, all the trips that we take into space, yeah, benefit mankind.
So it benefits humankind, and I'm going to keep correcting
mankind,
the man-made and the man missions, because this is exactly what this mission is about, is expanding the perspective of who does space.
Okay. There's a show on Apple TV called For All Mankind. It is based off of, obviously, One Small Step for Man, One Giant Leap for Mankind, which was said by people that faked the moon landing. I'm kidding, maybe, allegedly. But anyway, but this is the political correctness that is on the left. That is the reason why a guy like Stephen A. Smith has no chance, because he's not going to put up with that. He's not going to put up with having somebody correct him on pronoun usage. He's not going to. But that's the Democrat Party. It's the same. It is the problem that any mainstream Democrat, if they say mainstream, is going to have, is dealing with this woke crap that they have allowed to take over the Democrat Party. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere on the left. It's Justin Trudeau. Do you remember Justin, little Justin, the ex-prime minister of Canada, the former governor of the 51st state of Canada, Justin Trudeau? He mansplained to a woman who said that term once before. This is one of my favorite clips he's ever said. Cut 39.
Maternal love is the love that's going to change the future of mankind. So we'd like you to
We like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind, because it's more inclusive.
There we go, exactly. Yes.
It is the wokeness that the Democrat Party has embraced that, as Bill Maher put it, is dragging them off a cliff. And I got to tell you, I'm not surprised that Bill Maher was shocked that Donald Trump is not the monster that he always thought he was when he met him in person. I'm not surprised by that. But the reality is that for Bill Maher, it should be a wake-up call for him to maybe not just simply assume that what you hear about somebody is correct. Because if they're attacking a person like Trump so much, it's probably for a reason. It's probably for a reason. And the reason is they want to stop him. Because you guys probably agree on more than you think. And the point that he makes here in this clip on this podcast that he was on is that the Democrat Party didn't just flirt with woke. They married it. And this is why a guy like Stephen A. Smith doesn't have a chance. If Gavin Newsom tries to play Mr. Moderate, all he's going to do is tick off people on the left with his new seeing the light of day when it comes to men competing in women's sports, although he's a fraud and he'll say whatever he has to say. This is cut 40.
You get a certain amount of cult followers for anything, and then the true believers never die. I mean, a lot of people would say right now the Democratic Party is still in that mode, which is going to render them possibly an irrelevant party if they don't change.
What would you like to see from the Democrats, like, going forward?
More centrism, much more get rid of the woke baggage, old school liberal is what I usually describe myself as. But that's very often the opposite of woke. Woke would like people to believe that they're some sort of an extension of liberalism, but they're not. They're usually something that's quite opposite. Liberalism was We should have a colorblind society and not see race at all. Mm. That's not what the woke believe.
Yeah, I would say it's...
They're the opposite.
Quite.
Let's put race at the front of everything.
Yep, absolutely. Oppressor and oppressed, sacred. Make a sacred the oppressed.
It's beyond a joke at this point. And Gavin Newsom can try to walk back all the nonsense that he's said over the years and done over the years, but guys like me won't let him. And this is what I said this morning on America's Newsroom. I really wish these conservative influencers would stop trying to normalize this guy. All right? You know, I think that, and now, Matt, who is a podcast now? I saw you, somebody else has a podcast.
Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, who I think is also a 2028 presidential hopeful.
So he's got do you know the name of the podcast?
I don't. I'm certain nobody has listened to it. I'll find it, though.
Has his royal ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable started a podcast yet?
Daily Chompers.
That's what they should call it. The Daily Chompers. Those friggin' teeth of his.
It's just called the Andy Beshear Podcast. Not very clever.
The Andy Beshear Podcast. Wow. That sounds so exciting. The Andy Beshear Podcast. Woo! These guys are such friggin' losers, man. They really are. This is cringeworthy here. Cory Booker, can I get a hug? All right, there's so much about this that I wanted. Should I take a break or can I keep going? What do you want me to do?
Let's take a break.
All right, I'm going to take a break. But when I get back, let's cue up this cut number 36. And I'll show you what a friggin' clown Cory Booker is, what a fraud he is. Do we need to be giving out hugs? That's the only question I have for you. Do we need to be giving out hugs? Do grown adults need to be hugging other grown adult strangers? I mean, I'm a hugger. I'll give a bro hug to a guy. You know what I mean? Like a buddy of mine who I haven't seen in a while, but give like a bro hug. Or it's like, you know, hey bro, happy birthday. I mean, do we need to be doing this? You'll see what I mean when we get back as we continue along the show here. You don't want to miss this. If you're streaming live on YouTube, you'll get to see this. You want to see this, so go to our YouTube page. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We got a lot going on here today. It's a busy, busy day. It's a busy, busy day, obviously. The question of who this guy was, this lunatic who attacked Governor Shapiro's residence over the weekend, continues to be a big story. And the president had a lot to say in the Oval Office today regarding tariffs and trade and everything else that's happening. So, first of all, let's do that, shall we, and go down that road for just a second. A couple things the president had to say in the Oval Office. So he was asked about, let's start up with cut number four here. How many illegal criminals? I teased Cory Booker. So let me do Cory Booker because I was teasing that before the break, and I don't want to forget that. And this is the question of do we need to be doing hugs? Do we need to be doing hugs? Cory Booker is a fraud. He really is. He's a clown. That 25-hour talk marathon that he did, it was a joke, such a joke. But he's another one that wants to run for president of the United States of America. Now, nobody in this country is being hurt or killed or beaten because of their sexuality or because they're trans. Okay, nobody. If anyone is hurt or beaten because of their sexuality or because they're trans, that's a crime and the perpetrator will go to jail. It's not encouraged. It's not allowed. You can't do those things in America. There's nowhere it's happening. It's like when Cory Booker stood up and said he was going to have, you know, he's trying to pass a federal anti-lynching act. First of all, nobody's getting lynched. That's number one. But number two, there's not a state in the country that allows lynching. It's not like you need a federal law against lynching because there's five or six states that allow it. Nobody's lynching. And if somebody lynches another human being, that's called murder, and they're going to be charged with murder. But that was Cory Booker grandstanding again with a federal lynching law that was not needed because, again, there's no lynching sanctuary in America. For no reason. There's not like a state that says, well, you can lynch the following groups or you can you can lynch on Tuesdays. There's no lynching. Cory Booker for years made it a grandstanding spectacle to grandstand about the need for a federal anti-lynching bill. And it was so stupid because, again, Nobody gets away with the crime of lynching. Now, there's fake people that carry around nooses, noosai, and things like that, like Jussie Smollett and others, and that person in our area, and I think it was like Reading, PA, right? A woman who had a noose on her desk and turned out to be she's the one that brought it. There's a lot of that nonsense that goes on, but nobody's actually getting lynched in America in this day and age. But he's a grandstander. It's why I call him Count Grandstandulous, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band. So here at this event, a transgender individual stands up at this Cory Booker town hall and, I mean, first of all, goes on about nothing that's actually happening to the community. But it's how Cory Booker responds to this. It's just amazing. Cut 36.
I have a question about LGBTQ rights, because as you know, we get attacked like every time a fascist government comes in. They say they're protecting kids, but it's not about the kids. We can't even live our truth, because me going out every single day as who I am puts me in danger. So my question, Senator, to you is, what are we going to do about protecting LGBTQ rights and trans rights for those who don't have a voice that can speak up? This is not a costume. This is who I am, and I am not about to let him tell me who I am.
Thank you for coming. So first of all, can I have a hug? Yes.
Can I have a hug?
Thank you. So this is.
That's enough. That's all. I just. Can I get a hug? Can I get a hug? This is a grown man asking another grown man. Another grown thing for a hug? Do we need to be doing this? Is this a thing? What about social distancing? I'm just saying. Can I get a hug? First of all, can I get a hug? Justin, can you just rewind it just to that part, please? Because maybe I didn't hear it correctly. Maybe I didn't see it correctly. Maybe I'm making this all up in my head. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for coming. So first of all, can I have a hug? Yes.
No, I heard it right. Yep, can I get a hug? I'm a hugger. I'm Cory Booker. I'm a hugger. Let's hug it out. Let's hug it out. Okay, is this a thing now in America? Are we doing this? Is this what we're doing now? We're hugging constituents at town halls for, yeah, okay. Very good. 855-839-1210. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we are discussing today, feel free to do so. You can also weigh in on the YouTube chat. Do we need to be hugging? It's really my question here. Do we need to be hugging? Do adults need to do this? I don't think so. So then the question then, of course, is what about singing? Can we have some singing? How about some singing to ail America's problems? Well, Democrats show that they're more focused on singing than solutions. Senator Bernie Sanders tapped Joan Baez to sing. I thought Joan Baez was dead, Matt DeSantis. She's still alive?
I guess so. Yeah. She's still with us.
Hmm. She older than Pelosi? No, nobody's older than Pelosi, but... all right, well, here's Joan Baez and some other people singing here. This is Cut 35.
Turn 35. Me around, keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna let those lousy billionaires turn me around enough. Turn me around enough.
That's catchy. Catchy. Can I get a hug?
She's a professional singer, by the way, right?
Yeah,
I don't know anything about her, but.
Yeah, I just didn't know she was still on this earth. I haven't heard the name Joan Baez in a long time.
Not a talented singer from what I witnessed in that clip, right?
You that weren't jamming to that?
No.
Come on.
I think
you weren't jamming
reason...
out to that? That was catchy.
That was not catchy. That was really bad. That was a terrible performance.
I don't know if I sent you, there was another clip. It was even more painful of these people dancing, singing in the streets about the oligarchy.
Well, I don't have that. I'll find it, though.
You know what? I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't send it to you because it's just, it's just really bad. Really, really bad. Man. Speaking of singers, you want to hear Katy Perry describe what it was like to go to space?
Absolutely.
I wish we could have kept her in space, to be honest with you. I wish we could have kept her there. This feels like somebody who went to space and did drugs in space. And then the way the effect that the drugs have on your body without gravity really drives the point home. You know what I mean? So this is Katy Perry, got 42.
It is the highest high, and it is surrender to the unknown, trust, and this whole journey is not just about going to space. It's the training, it's the team, it's the whole thing. I couldn't recommend this experience more. This is like up there with all the, you know, different tools that I've learned in my life, from meditation to the Hoffman process. This is up there because what you're doing is you're like really finding the love for yourself, because you got to trust in yourself on this journey. And then you're feeling the love when you come down, for sure. And you're feeling that strength. So I feel really connected to that strong divine feminine right now.
By the way, you're such a badass. I love that the month of April, you're like, I'm going to space and I'm launching my tour.
I tell you, can I get a hug? Can we hug it out? Can I get a hug? Play Can I Get a Hug Again for me, Justin, please? Can I get a hug? Can we do that? Can you give me that? And then I need that as a drop, too. I need that to be isolated as a drop. And if you could send that to me, because I might need to use that going forward, that would be very helpful.
By the way, Thank you. Go ahead and play the clip. I'll ask Rich afterwards.
Go ahead.
Coming. So, first of all, can I have a hug? Yes.
Can I have a hug? Yes, Matt?
So did you hear this clip of Katy Perry? It went viral on social media. Her talking about the mathematics and the science behind the space flight. And I think she also weighs in on string theory, which, if there's any fans of physics out there, I'm sure Katy Perry is just the person you want to hear from. I don't have the video, but I have the audio, and it's incredible.
I mean, she is the Oppenheimer of our time, and I've long said that about Katy Perry.
The Oppenheimer of pop, I believe, is what they've called her.
That's right. The Oppenheimer of pop. My bad. You're right. That's a great point. No, we definitely want to listen to this.
About the engineering of it all. I'm excited to learn more about STEM and just the math about what it takes to accomplish this type of thing. I was winding down from a rehearsal the other day, and I was listening to Cosmos by Carl Sagan and reading a book on string theory, and
wow.
Yeah, I was like going to bed. That was definitely like helping. I was like Pythagoras. Yeah. Pythagoras. But you know, I've always been interested in astrophysics and interested in astronomy and astrology and the stars. I feel like we are all made of stardust, and we all come from the stars, and it'll be exciting to see them twinkle from that sight, and also have such an appreciation for Mother Earth when we see it in that way.
I'm birthing person Earth. You bigot. Okay, birthing person Earth, Katy Perry. And I can understand her, she being into astrology. I have no doubts about that. And I have no doubt she checked her horoscope. I bet you she made it one page into the string theory and then looked up, you know, Alexa, what's my horoscope for the week? Because astronomy and astrology, not the same thing. They both have an A in them. Not the same thing. Astronomy and astrology are not the same. I love how she's like, I love astronomy and I love astrology. No. That's not. They're not related. They're not. The two of them, the two things don't. That's not side by side. She's like, I love rocket science and also my Taurus outlook. My Taurus outlook for the week. You know, like no. It's not related. Okay, or maybe she's a Virgo.
I'm so angry that journalist didn't ask her a follow-up question on string theory. I would have loved to have heard more.
Well, it's like we're all made of stardust, you see, and like this.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.